Chapter 21, The Mystery of Dirtman, Part 2. Katie had not been down the farm road in so much darkness before. Usually, when she went down the farm road at night, it was earlier in the evening, and every other time there had been a moon out to help light the way. But this night, there was no moon. There, in the deep woods, it was pitch black, except for the flashlights Wendy had insisted they bring. The flashlights created giant shadows all around the big oak trees. A slight wind rustled the few leaves on the trees, which seemed to be swaying back and forth as they walked, giving the whole scene an eerie effect. "I'm a little scared," whispered Katie to Robert P. Rabbit. "Of what?" asked Robert P. Rabbit, although he was pretty certain he knew. "It's the trees," said Katie. "They look so strange, like they are going to jump down on us." "Katie," said Robert P. Rabbit, "have you ever seen a tree move?" "Well, no," said Katie. "And you aren't ever going to, either. It doesn't matter if it is day or night, those trees are going to stay just where they are. They aren't going to jump or even crawl. In fact, they aren't going to move even one inch. They are stuck just where God let them grow, so you can stop worrying about the trees." "Okay," she said, "but I am still scared." "What are you scared of, Katie? Are you scared because you don't know what is out there in the dark?" "That's it, Robert P. Rabbit. You are really smart. I'm glad you're my friend, because not everyone would understand. What should I do?" she asked. "Let's think about something else. You are thinking about things in your head that are not really there. If you think about a bear being out in the woods in the dark, then you are going to start worrying about the bear out in the woods in the dark. And since there isn't really a bear out in the woods in the dark, you will be worrying about a bear that never was there in the first place. So the best thing to do is just not to think about the bear at all."
"Gee, Robert P. Rabbit, I wasn't thinking about a bear at all. But now that you have brought him up, I keep thinking about that bear, and now I'm worried that he is going to jump out and grab me. Do you think we should tell the others about the bear?"
"Oh, Katie, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. We don't have to worry about that bear. Look, we just came out into the pumpkin patch, and the stars in the sky are beautifully bright. See, they light up the whole patch without even needing the moon to help," he said. "So let's just forget about the bear." And sure enough, there they were, well out into the pumpkin patch. Wendy put down the blankets and pillows for them to lie on so they could look up at the meteor shower they all hoped would come.
"How long before we see the shooting stars, Mama?" asked Will.
"I don't know for sure, honey," she said, "but I think it won't be too long."
"Okay," he said. "Katie, Robert P. Rabbit, and I are going to explore around the pumpkin patch and see what we can find."
"Don't go too far and stay inside the fence," she said.
"We will," said Katie, and off they ran to see what they had really wanted to see most this night, and that was Dirtman's house.
"Let's get as close as we can," said Will. "And if he is up there, I want to get a really good look at him. And we can stay behind the blueberry bushes. They will keep him from seeing us, even when we get really close to his porch."
"I don't know, Will," said Katie. "I'm not sure I want to get too close. What if he gets angry at us for spying on him and comes after us with a pitchfork or something?"
"Don't worry, Katie," said Robert P. Rabbit. "I've got an idea. When we get close enough, I'll slip through the fence and hop up close to the porch to see if he is up there."
"You don't need to do that," said Will. "He's up there all right."
"How do you know?" asked Katie. "Don't you hear that noise?" he asked. "It's a squeaking noise, and it's coming right from his porch."
"I hear it," said Robert P. Rabbit, "and I know what it is. Don't you remember telling us that your daddy made a rocking chair for Dirtman? He is sitting in that rocking chair on his porch, rocking back and forth just as calm as he pleases."
"Let's get a little closer and see if we can see him," said Will. They crept as close as they could amongst the blueberry bushes until they were within a stone's throw of his porch.
"We need to just whisper from now on," said Katie, "or he might hear us."
"Listen," said Will, "he's talking to someone."
"How many are there?" said Dirtman.
"There are 8 of them," the other voice said.
"And what are they doing?" asked Dirtman.
"I'm not sure, but they laid blankets down on the ground, and now they are lying on the blankets, looking up into the sky," answered the voice.
"Well, why don't you just go on back along the fence and see what you can see, and then let me know what you think," said Dirtman.
Katie, Will, and Robert P. Rabbit looked wide-eyed at one another.
"We'd better go warn them," said Will. "We don't know who the other person is or what he intends to do, and Mama and the others won't have any warning."
"Calm down," said Robert P. Rabbit. "Let's just go back and join the others. And don't say anything to anyone about what we have heard. Just leave it all to me. Do and say what I tell you to do and say." So they hurried back to the others and took their places on the blankets, looking up as if nothing at all had happened out of the ordinary.
"Look, the first shooting star!"
After that, there were a steady stream of shooting stars for the next 45 minutes. They saw so many that they began to have a contest to see who could be the first to see the next one. Polly offered an ice cream cone the next day to whoever was first to see a shooting star the most times. Ariel saw the shooting stars first the most times, but she doesn't even eat that much ice cream. But no matter, it was an amazing night with so many shooting stars that they lost count. After a while, it was time to go home, but they hadn't had a chance to tell anyone about seeing Dirt Man. Robert P. Rabbit said not to worry about it. He had snuck away from the blankets while they were all looking at the shooting stars and had gone to see just what was going on with Dirt Man. And he agreed that they should have a meeting the next day to discuss their next steps. After breakfast the next day, Katie, Will, and Robert P. Rabbit went to their special fort to talk things over. Running through the back of their yard in Tallulah Falls is a small creek, and beside the creek is a tall stand of bamboo. Their daddy cut a path into the bamboo and then cut out a square right in the middle of it where they can sit. The bamboo is so thick no one can see into it from the outside, so no one can bother them. This made a wonderful private place where they could meet and talk things over. They called it Fort Genius because they felt like real geniuses when they met there to make their plans about anything. "Okay," said Robert P. Rabbit, "here's what happened the other night. After we slipped out of the blueberry bushes and went back to our blankets, I hopped away to go over to the fence."
"I didn't see you do that," said Katie.
"That's because you were so intent on looking up into the sky," said Robert P. Rabbit. "When I got to the fence, I looked around to see who was talking to Dirt Man, the man he sent down to spy on us."
"Who was he?" asked Will.
"It wasn't a he. It was the donkey," said Robert P. Rabbit.
"The donkey?" said Katie in surprise. "What do you mean, the donkey?"
"I mean just what I said, the donkey," said Robert P. Rabbit. "I think the donkey is just like me, and that Dirt Man is just like you. They talk to each other. And Katie, when you felt like the donkey understood what you were saying when you all were in the pumpkin patch, you were right. He does understand you, and you can understand him. That's why you knew what he was saying when he talked to Dirt Man on the porch last night."
"What are we going to do about that?" asked Katie.
"Well," said Robert P. Rabbit, "I think we need to go back to Dirt Man's house to see if we can catch them talking again. But we need to do it when there is a full moon so we can see more. And we need to do it after dark so he will be less likely to see us." So they spent the rest of the morning setting out their plan about how to catch Dirt Man talking to his donkey and what they would do when he realized they had caught him. But they had to wait a week until the next full moon to carry out their plan. It was awfully hard waiting, almost as hard as waiting for Christmas morning. But the night finally did come. It was the night before Thanksgiving.
"Mama," said Katie, "Will and I want to go to the pumpkin patch tonight to play. We'll go just as it gets dark, and we will be back in an hour."
"Katie, I can't let you two go out by yourselves in the dark. It's just not safe."
"But Mama," she said, "we'll have Robert P. Rabbit with us."
Wendy just stared at Katie, not knowing what to say.
"I'll go with them," said Ariel.
"Well, okay, just so long as you are back 1 hour after sundown," said Wendy. Katie and Will didn't really want Ariel to go with them, but they didn't have any other choice if they wanted to carry out their plan. So as they were on the way to the pumpkin patch, they explained to Ariel everything that had happened. Now, Ariel doesn't have the mark below her right ear, so she has never heard Robert P. Rabbit speak. But she has been around them so much now that she is a total believer in the amazing Robert P. Rabbit. And besides, she had always wanted to see Dirt Man, so she agreed to go along with their plan.
"First, we are going to find the donkey, and Will is going to feed him a big, juicy apple. Then he will lead the donkey to the porch where he will put down another apple for him," said Katie. "Then Robert P. Rabbit is going to hop up on the porch and knock on the door.
When he hears Dirtman coming to the door, he will hop away and rejoin us at the fence. By then, the donkey should be eating the apple we will leave on the porch, so he should be there when Dirtman comes to the door. Then they will start talking, and we can all shout out that we hear them and know what they are saying, she added.
What happens then? Asked Ariel.
We don't know, said Robert P. Rabbit. We will cross that bridge when we come to it. By then they had reached the fence. But before Will could go through the fence with the apple, they noticed that the donkey was already standing at the porch. He had a saddle on his back, and across the saddle horn was a brightly lit lantern. They all crept carefully along the fence until they were as close to the porch as they could get. When they were nearly close enough to throw a pebble at the donkey and hit him, they heard the donkey speak in a low, eerie voice.
Dirtman, Dirtman, it's time to go.
And then again,
Dirtman, Dirtman, it's time to go.
They were terrified. The donkey sounded so ominous that they just froze. Robert P. Rabbit didn't try to hop up to knock on the door, and Will certainly didn't try to give the donkey an apple. A third time, the donkey said,
Dirtman, Dirtman, it's time to go.
The door suddenly opened. Dirtman came out onto the porch and stepped into the saddle on the back of the donkey. The donkey slowly turned, hesitating as he faced them, and for an instant they were sure he saw them. But then he kept on turning, and off down the dirt road he went with Dirtman on his back and the lantern swinging from the saddle horn.
What shall we do? Asked Katie.
Let's follow them, said Robert P. Rabbit.
I'm for that, said Will. And before Ariel could say a thing, off down the fence line went Robert P. Rabbit, with Will pushing Katie in her travel chair close behind. Ariel didn't have any choice but to follow. When they got to the end of the fence line, Dirtman opened the gate and went through.
Where do you think they are going? Asked Katie.
It looks like they are headed to the church to me, said Will. And sure enough, as soon as the donkey got to the church, he turned up into the dirt driveway and walked around behind the church.
I don't think I want to follow him anymore, said Katie. It's scary back there. That's where the graveyard is. We won't go farther than the side of the church. We can see everything we want to see from there.
So they turned up the driveway and slowly worked their way along the church to the back corner of the building, where they stopped.
I don't see the lantern anymore, said Katie. Let's go back home. I don't like this.
Wait a minute, said Will. I see the light. It's right over there in the garden, next to those vines.
You're right, Will. There's the donkey, but Dirtman is no longer in the saddle. I wonder where he's gone, said Katie.
Why don't you turn around and see for yourself?
A voice suddenly said from behind them.
It's him! It's him! Run! Run! Shouted Will, running toward the back of the church.
Stop! Cried Katie. I don't think we are in danger. I think he wants to talk to us. As Will came back to hide behind Katie, they looked carefully at the person in front of them. What they saw was a man with a gentle face and a smile that put them at ease. He wasn't much taller than Katie, but he had large hands, hands of a person who had done a lot of hard work. He held a garden spade in his right hand and a small flowering plant in his left. His shirt and pants were covered with dirt as if he had been on his knees working in the ground, and he was wearing work boots, like the kind their father wore when he is weeding their garden or cutting trees around their house. His skin was dark, and not just because he had been in the sun a lot, but because he was made that way.
Isn't that so, Dirtman? Am I right? She asked.
Yes, Katie, you are correct, he said. I have been wondering why you've been spying on me, and I am especially curious about the fact that Jeremiah says you can understand him, and even talk to him if you want to.
Who is Jeremiah? Asked Katie.
That is my donkey, he said. I don't know why I have been able to talk to him, and why he can talk to me, except that I found one place in the Bible where a donkey talked to Jeremiah, so I named him Jeremiah.
By then, Will had settled down, and Ariel was taking it all in, as if she were a reporter who was going to write a story for the paper.
He can talk to you, and you to him, because you have the mark, said Robert P. Rabbit,
who went on to explain about why Katie and Will could do the same thing and why he, Dirtman, could communicate with Jeremiah.
Dirtman seemed surprised that a rabbit was talking to him and seemed to understand what he was saying. Oh, now we have a talking rabbit, do we? He said. What will it be next, talking pigs?
No, said Robert P. Rabbit, pigs will never talk. They are too busy eating and making pigs of themselves to bother talking. They spent the next hour talking and talking about everything that had happened to them since they met Robert P. Rabbit. They even had a chance to talk to Jeremiah and listen to his story, which is a story for another time. Dirt Man listened very politely until finally Will asked, "Why did you come to the graveyard at the church?"
"Oh, I am in charge of planting the flowers around the graveyard and around all of the church. And this year I planted a moonflower vine. It only blooms at night, and it blooms especially well at the time of the full moon. Tonight is the full moon, so Jeremiah reminded me that it was time to see the blooms. So here I am, and here you are too. Would you like to see them?"
"Oh, yes," said Katie. "And we'd like to see all your other flowers too, if you'll let us."
"Certainly I will. You can come over any time, and I'll show you all my garden. It is behind my hut, so no one can really see it unless I bring them back. I would love to take you back there. I've invited your mother, and she says she will come one day when she isn't so busy."
"That reminds me," said Katie. "Why do you and Mama put the things in the bushel basket? Why doesn't she bring the fruits and vegetables and eggs right up to your house?"
"Well, it's quite simple. You see, if she came all the way up to the house, she would first have to go all the way down to the gate, open it up, walk all the way up to the hut, then walk all the way down to the gate again and back up to the farm road. It's just a lot easier to use the bushel basket," he said.
That made a lot of sense to Katie, but she was a little disappointed that it wasn't something a little more mysterious. Finally, Will asked him the question they were all wondering but had been afraid to ask. "Is Dirt Man your real name?"
"No," he said. "When I first came to the mountains of Tallulah Falls, I was running away from some sadness. I'll tell you all about it sometime. I wanted to be alone, so I just didn't talk to anyone. I found the hut through some friends of mine in the government, and it suited my wishes for privacy perfectly. So when I went to town, I didn't speak any more than I had to, just did my business and came back home. I didn't tell anyone my real name, as they probably wouldn't be able to pronounce it, and since I am always working in my garden and generally am covered with soil when I go to town, they started calling me Dirt Man, and I let them do so. But I'll tell you my real name," he went on, "since we are going to be friends, and since you understand that I'm not crazy talking to Jeremiah. My name is Haprid Sanjeev, and you can call me Hap."
"Hap," said Katie thoughtfully. "I like that name."
"Isn't your mother going to worry about you all being out this late at night?" he asked.
"Oh, dear," said Ariel. "I promised to have you back in an hour, and it's been over 2 hours. I think I'm in real trouble."
"Here," said Dirt Man. "I'll push Katie and carry Will on Jeremiah so you can make better time getting home. Let's go."
They went off as quickly as they could, and soon they were coming into their driveway when they saw Chief Gocher's police car up at the house with the blue light going round and round frantically, like it did when he stopped speeders on the highway. Somehow, they all knew that he was there because of them not coming home when they said they would. So they came up the driveway with a certain amount of fear and trembling, sure Mama would be very angry at them. But instead of being angry, Wendy just ran down the driveway with her arms open, crying tears of joy. She gave them all hugs and kisses and thanked Chief Gocher for coming to help. After she heard the whole story, she thanked Dirt Man profusely and insisted that he come to Thanksgiving dinner the next day, which he did. So from then on, Katie, Will, Robert P. Rabbit, and Hap became the best of friends, and Hap became a very important part of the Global Detective Agency. As for Jeremiah, while he could talk to them and they to him, he was not the brightest light bulb in the lamp, so he was not taken into the inner circle of their friendship, but was allowed to tag along from time to time.